Lord, I just pray now you take your word, your living and active word. Lord, we just we're so grateful for it. Lord, because that's where we just really encounter you, that we would encounter you today. Just overshadow, Lord, my weakness. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I just, this thought just hit me earlier today, actually this morning. The Lord just brought these scriptures back to mind, and I've spoken about this before, but I was just thinking about how things that makes us stumble. And one of the things, and one of the major things that I've seen in my ministry, the inner healing and deliverance counseling ministry that I do, is what we would put as like the fear of man. Proverbs says the fear of man brings a snare. And I don't mean the fear of man by just, you know, being afraid somebody's going to break in your house or anything like that. It's about man's approval, fearing man's disapproval. And I was reminded, some of you here may know her or have met her, but back in 91, when we started doing our, having our Lazarus weekends, in September of 91 is when we started just practicing on each other, praying for each other. Everybody that was in our congregation then, we're in a little house over here where that building is. When Bishop and Olivia, a year before or so, they were in Jacksonville at Francis McNutt's ministry down there, and they met a lady named Betty Brennan. Betty Brennan is a born-again Roman Catholic. She spent several years in the occult, really high up in the occult. And the occult is the worship of Satanism, right? Occult is just anything that's not Christian, but she was high up in the occult and then had a real encounter with the Lord and got saved. She went through 3 years of deliverance. That's how bad it was. So she knew a lot about the demonic, more than anybody I have ever met or I have ever read. She knew more about it. I just have to tell her, hey, that's enough information. That's all I can take right now. But she taught us how to do deliverance, and been back at this church several times. We haven't seen her in years. Hopefully we can get her back. It's been about 10 years or more since she's been here. 2008, she was here for Woody's wedding. I almost said funeral, but wedding. I was riding with her one day. She was riding with me, and I happened to ask her, I said, what is the biggest stronghold in Selma? What is the ruling demonic thing here? And I was thinking one thing, and she said another, something that just totally took me off guard. She said, here's what the ruling thing does here in Selma. It causes Christians to compromise because they don't want to be rejected by other people. They don't want to be rejected by society. So they spiritually compromise. I can't remember what the name, there's a name of it, I can't remember it, but she said that's what it does. Keeps people from really going for it because they fear what man will think or say. We don't want to go too far because we don't want to be labeled a cult, you know, which we were for years, probably still are. And it just really hinders a person from being childlike and going for everything that Jesus has is the fear of what people will think and the fear that you will be an outcast in Selma. That is the ruling demonic spirit in this area. Did you ever think about that? Or did you think that was one? I didn't. You know, I thought it was all this other stuff. But it has been true. As these things were stirring around in me, the Lord just reminded me of some scripture in the book of John and some things about Jesus said when he came, you know. In chapter 5, I do not receive glory from men, but I know you that the love of God is not in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in my own name, you will receive him. But how can you believe when you receive or seek glory from one another and do not seek the glory that is from God? You can't believe. That's what he's saying. You can't believe when you want to seek glory from men and you want their approval and their praise. I see that a lot, and I've seen that a lot through the years being in the CEC where somebody was asking me about a guy last night in 2000 who did a bunch of us from Selma went and had this little men's conference. It's Bob and a bunch of guys from Blue Jean now, Cross Point, a bunch of us, and had this prophetic guy who used to be with us. came and he prophesied over everybody. I mean, gave every single person a word, about 30 men. We were all in a circle. He went one at a time and just took his time and just, I've never since then seen anything like that. And so, somebody asked me, where is this guy now? I said, oh no, I hadn't seen him in about 19 years because, he had what we call purple fever. Purple fever in the CEC is really wanting to be a bishop, right? Or black fever is means you really want to be a priest, or gray fever is that you really want to be a deacon, right? What is the root of all of that? Receiving glory from men. So you'll be honored or respected, or you have now authority and power, right? If that ever starts creeping in any area of our life, it's going to turn out bad. Because we've abandoned our path, and now we're on a path of man's approval and seeking glory from them. Here's another one. There's just a bunch of them. They all basically say the same thing, but just a little different. When it was now in the midst of the feast, this is the Feast of Booths, where Jesus, he went into the temple and began to teach. The Jews were then astonished, saying, how has this man become learned, having never been educated? So Jesus answered and said to them, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone is willing to do his will, he'll know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak for myself. I use that scripture a lot, because if anyone's really willing to do the will of God, they will know the will of God, right? But most of the time, they aren't willing. And that's what keeps them, that's the reason they stay confused all the time. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who is seeking glory from the one who sent him, he is true, and there's no unrighteousness in him. That was in 7. This is John 8. I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. In verse 54, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. That's John 8. You want to go back and look at this. The next one's in John 12, 41 to 43. These things Isaiah said because he saw God's glory and he spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. A lot of Pharisees believed in him, but just wouldn't go the full length or step over that line because they didn't want to be an outcast. They didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. They didn't want to be rejected, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Really big deal, y'all. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, one of my favorite chapters. I love that, about being clothed with, just him longing to be clothed with his heavenly body. We were all created for him and for his glory. And then it says, we have as our ambition to be pleasing to him, to be pleasing to God. That's what it's all about, y'all. When you cross that line in the sand of, I want all that God has for me, and I want to be pleasing to him, and I'm not going to fear rejection or care if I get rejected or man's approval or not, then we will get to experience the kingdom of God. The Lord will open doors and realms for you that you've never thought possible before. Because fear, as Proverbs, I said before, the fear of man brings a snare. It entangles us, as Hebrews chapter 12 said, laying aside those things which entangle us. And that's a big deal, y'all. It's a big deal. I know I've been to services before and watched people do things, and it's just, I was embarrassed. I thought, man, wonder if the Lord wanted me to do, would I do that? Would I be willing to look? Paul said, we look foolish. We're fools for Christ's sake. We're willing to look foolish. But the payoff of that, y'all, is so much better. And that thing can go deep, and it has in my life gone really deep in me, not even realizing it. But thinking, oh man, I got to do this, or I got to call that person. If I don't do that, they're going to be upset. That's just, what is that? That's wanting man's approval, and it was a real idol in my life, and I had to confess it before the Lord. And to this day, it'll pop up, and he'll remind me of that. Hey, Greg, you just want their approval. You're right, Lord. Or you're fearing their rejection. And I'm like, yes, you're right, Lord. I confess that. I repent of it. And Lord, I want you to do a work so deep in me that is just the, farthest thing from my mind is what they think of me. I remember a guy, I can't remember his name now, charismatic. He got just radically saved. And he walked in a convenience store one day, and the Lord spoke a word to him and said, "Get on your all fours and roar like a lion." And he was like, "Oh my gosh." But, you know, he did it. And if I can get the story straight, I may be missing some things, but it was, I think the person who was working there said something to the Lord, you know, "If you roar like a lion, I'll believe in you." And so he did that without any fear of what people, it may have been a little, it may have popped up in him, you know, but he just put that to death. And as this revival that we're in is going further and further, if you want to go deeper and deeper, further up, further in, you got to put that to death, or let the Lord put that to death for you. Okay, you got to be willing to look foolish. You got to be willing to go for it. My Tuesday night Bible study, some of these guys have been with me for 8 years, and just now getting them to where they'll go out on a limb and maybe give a word, you know, from the Lord. It's taken them that long. Well, when we won't go out on the limb and do things, we still got to get back to the root of why we're not, you know. And most of it, 99% of the time, has to be, I don't want to look foolish. I don't want the other people to think I'm goofy, right? Hey, I'll take the goofy, right? The older I get, the less it matters to me. Lord, I'll take the goofy any day. I'll give goofy words, whatever it takes, because that's the realm you live in. He asks us to believe in some crazy stuff, doesn't he? So, the goofier you get, the more glory you receive.